Our next speaker is Harnessing Technology to Improve Patient Safety by Heather Evans from the Medical University of South Carolina.
Yes, the newness. I know we're behind, and I am going to fly through my slides. I just tweeted out a link to all of them, so if you want to look at them later, you're certainly welcome to do so, as well as following the links that are in the slides. I am really happy to be able to participate in this panel today. I don't think about what the work that I do very much as patient safety, but it really is. What I'm going to be talking about specifically is the next frontier in surgical site infection triage and care delivery, because we're doing it wrong. So my objectives today are three. We're going to define the problem of surgical site infection detection and opportunities for mHealth implementation. I'm going to describe the scope and methods of the ASSIST project, which is something I've been working on for a year with Bill Lober, who's a colleague of mine at the University of Washington, as well as several members that are present in the room of the scientific board, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. And then I'd like to present our initial findings from this project. We just came up with 10 recommendations on how to move forward with this work on Sunday, and you'll be the first to hear. So I said that I don't think about patient safety, but this really is post-discharge patient safety. After the patient leaves the hospital, after you've operated on them, they're responsible for their post-surgical care most of the time. Now, of course, there are exceptions, you know, when someone goes to a skilled nursing facility. But if you're sending somebody home, it's up to them to figure out what's going on. More than 50% of surgical site infections happen after they go home. And that's getting worse because we're sending people home earlier and earlier. All of your ERS protocols, all of those triumphs of sending someone home 23 hours earlier, guess what? That's 23 hours more that they have to figure out how to take care of themselves. Post-discharge SSI surveillance, when you actually look for SSIs, associated with a higher rate of SSIs, not a lower rate. If you look for it, it's going to be there. And patients have no idea when they have an SSI. We don't even know when we have an SSI. How could they know? The Internet of Things is changing medicine. We no longer carry this kind of bag. I still do have a telephone in my house that has a cord on it. You might not, but we still use those phones in the hospital, right? Everybody's walking around with this cell phone. Who doesn't have a cell phone with a smartphone capability in the audience today? Raise your hand. I'm going to come talk to you afterwards because I want to know who you are. Nobody has these. And everybody's starting to walk around with a device that's going to be able to give us continuous EKG monitoring. Think about that. We've changed the way that we measure things. How did I get into this? It wasn't my idea. I had a patient that sent me an email and said, "Is there something wrong with my wound?" They sent me a picture. So we thought, well, could we do this? Could we take pictures of wounds and figure this out? We used machine learning to develop a prediction model of SSI with serial wound observations and vital signs. We examined surgical site infection diagnostic accuracy of infections experts at the Surgical Infection Society meeting, and we showed that wound photos increased the accuracy and the confidence of the individual making the diagnosis when they had that access. So wound photography is acceptable for wound monitoring. I mean, for God's sake, we're sending people home with a telephone. Why can't we use the whole capability of the phone? But it's hard. So patient-generated health data is what I'm talking about. Engagement level is modified by the patient preference. So it might be that patients going home really don't need to use their phone and tell you how their wound looks. They might be doing just fine. Now, caregivers also have smartphones, so we could utilize them. But the clinic wasn't really built for this kind of interaction. We're talking about completely changing the way that we take care of patients after they leave the hospital. No more football scores of when they're coming back to see you. No 7, 14 days. Everybody comes back at 14 days, right? Well, what happens between day 0 and day 14? That's when people are at most at risk. So the other problem is the workflow issue. And it's not just for us, it's for the patients too. They're expecting us to tell them what's going on if they feed us data. That's what that's in it for them. We got to figure out how to do that. So we got a group of people together And we're doing this project called Assessing Surgical Site Infection Surveillance Technologies because we really wanted to know, well, who's doing this? Who is successful? Who's been able to send their patients home with a smartphone and follow their wound? So I actually was able to convince the CDC to give us some money and to do a 2-year health technology assessment evaluating the current state of SSI detection monitoring and reporting using PGHD. And it's been really exciting working with people because we sit around the table and we go, well, what kind of evidence is there? We want to look at acute wounds, mHealth, users and their data, analytics, and we want to talk about communication, decision-making, care coordination, and population health at the center of all of those things. So we did an evidence review. That was the first thing that we did. And it turns out there's actually not a lot of evidence out there yet. So that was kind of exciting to see that we're really at the beginning. And you know you're at the beginning when a lot of the papers are pilot studies or thought pieces. We did key informant interviews because we really wanted to get not just the majority view but also the minority view of what was going on. And so we talked to all different kinds of people, general surgery, acute care surgery, emergency medicine, plastics, endocrine and GI surgery, vascular surgery. But we also had people that were not surgeons. Very importantly, we also had people that were taking care of surgical patients but not surgeons. We talked to people that were information technologists and pretty much thought leaders in all areas that would touch this. And, you know, we found out all kinds of interesting things. You know, neural networks cannot learn the complexity of human interaction and empathy. It was one of my favorite quotes from one of these interviews. So we had some really interesting and collaborative work here. But we also did an mHealth app review, and we looked to see who's in this space, who's doing this work, and we actually found some new people to incorporate on our scientific board. We had a patient-generated health data stakeholder advisory group, the PSAG workshop, in April of this year, and we had 23 people come and sit down and think about this problem. How do we do this? Who's doing it right? Who has a failed implementation, and what can we learn from that? And we put together a report after that workshop, which is really forming the basis for our health technology assessment report. If you want to know a little bit more about that, there's a link here, and you can go see more about that. So I'm going to finish up, because I know we're behind, and I really just wanted to fly through this and encourage you to come seek more information about what we're doing. We're going to have the final HTA report available at next year's Clinical Congress, and we're going to be talking about basically, there are 10 recommendations that we came up with in these 5 different categories. And we met on Sunday, the scientific board, and we really want to focus primarily on developing a community of practice that's a pluralistic community. It's a multidisciplinary. We want to include patient voices. We want to include people that are not taking care of surgical patients because we don't have all the answers. We need technology partners. We need to understand how to do this together. And then lastly, I'll say that we're having a symposium at the Surgical Infection Society meeting June 6th, first symposium of the meeting at 7:30 a.m., and I would invite everybody who's here who's interested to please come to that meeting because I think we're going to get into a great amount of detail where I wasn't able to do that today, and I thank you very much for your attention.